Today, part three, the last part in this series about fear, being unafraid. And today, I just want you to look on the title slide, see if anybody can identify when anxiety loses control. Does anybody know anything about anxiety? Let's all pull out our medicine and let's show one another what we're taking. No. But we all know something about anxiety. If we don't, we know somebody that is anxiety driven, do we not? You know, I realized I gave away the story that would have been great today for that woman I told you I was traveling on the airplane with last weekend getting in that was anxiety. I was ready to jump out the window because I was getting anxious just sitting by her, you know. But we all, I've been doing a lot of prayer this week thing about anxiety, about how powerful of a force it is. And that anxiety can seem to crush us. It seems overwhelming. Can anybody identify with anything I'm saying? I mean, that's just the nature of anxiety. Have you ever felt unprepared, overwhelmed, anxious about something? Sure. Maybe there's something right now in your life that there's some anxiety that's kind of gone down deep into you. It could be job stress. It could be financial challenges. It could certainly be the inflation in our economy today. It's just there's always something that we can be anxious about, but we don't need to be. And I was doing this study. It says 2/3 of Americans say and being anxious was growing at epic proportions in 2019. That was an old study. Can you imagine if we had a study today, and I'm sure they had, I just didn't see it, the anxiety level in 2024. Would you say it's going up or it's going down? Up. Yeah. Nobody has a problem with that. Like, man, we all know. So if there's a mental health issue of the day, one of the top ones would be anxiety, would it not be? That's for people that are homeless. That's for people that have a house. Matter of fact, if you have a house, and there was light. If you have a house, the anxiety can go up because you got to do what? You got to pay the bills. You got to pay the mortgage. You got to take care of the yard. You got to fix the stuff. I mean, anxiety. So anxiety is debilitating, crushing at best. So what is it? Where does it come from? Here's a definition. I want you to hear this. It's a feeling of worry, nervousness, unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Is there anything in your life right now there's an uncertain outcome? Well, sure. And some of us are like, yeah, I'm looking for the outcome in this situation, and it's driven my anxiety, Pastor. And a lot of times we kind of make fun and laugh, but man, anxiety is tough. Did you know pastors suffer with anxiety? Louis Giglio has written a lot about depression and anxiety. I was listening to him about Craig Rochelle, you know, one of the largest mega pastors in America. The thing I love about Craig, he is Christ's word centric, loves Jesus. Amen? But he was talking about how it just overwhelmed him. And so anxiety comes to rich, to poor, to different ethnicities. You know, anxiety knows no bounds. Would y'all agree with that? It doesn't care. It just finds a place, and it wants to latch on. And when it latches on, sometimes it drives us to a dark, deep despair. And I don't think the Lord wants us to stay there. I said, you know, Lord, give me the word in the Greek, and it's merimna. And it basically means, it's translated as care, anxiety, worry. It means to be divided, separated. Here's the best. It means to have trouble with cares. And so there is a caring capacity, but you're just kind of separated. You feel unattached. Anxiety. Does anybody in the room have problems sleeping? Yeah. Oh, that's anxiety. It keeps us awake. That's why, you know, they tell us it's not good to have screen time before you go to bed. And I don't want you to raise your hand if you're like, well, Pastor, that's how I go to sleep. Yeah. And you sit there and you watch it, don't you? They know what they're doing. They're just getting you to scroll and hang in there. It's like, it used to be you'd go, man, my mama, she watches the Shopping Channel and orders all this crazy stuff. Well, that enhanced her anxiety and enhanced your anxiety because you said she's spending my inheritance. All right, let's keep going. All right. So anxiety is a carpet bomb of what ifs on our sound minds. A lot of anxiety is like, what if this was the outcome? What if? Like, how many of you, when your kids and your grandkids go on a trip, does your anxiety go up or down? Somehow you don't feel like they're under your, you can't nestle, you can't be right there in control, so your anxiety. And let me ask you this, when your kids get grown, all your anxiety goes away. You only have anxiety when they're toddlers, when they're young. I found our anxiety went up as we got teenagers. I thought it was high here. You know what the guy, you know what our Father is? He is so good, He lets us catch it by increments. Like, how many of you ever said, oh my goodness, all the kid does is poop and eat. And all we do is buy diapers and food and clothes. But you know, it's training you because they're going to get more expensive as they get older. How many can testify your kids got a lot more expensive as they got older? And anxiety gets higher because then you get concerned about your kids, and then you get concerned about your grandkids, and then if you're maybe old enough, maybe you get concerned about your great-grandkids. You just concern, worry, and God didn't want us to stay there. So anxiety is an attack from the enemy on our minds and on our hearts. Is that true? Anxiety is real. It's rooted, you know what, write this down. Anxiety is rooted in doubt and fear. That's the root of anxiety. I doubt God's faithfulness. What did Linda lead us in a song on? I trust in the world. Wasn't that a great song that she led us in today? That's always it. Trust in God. How many of you love that song Linda and Pat did? I love that song. I want it in my spirit. And I didn't tell her. I mean, the Holy Spirit let her do that song. She picks that song, you know, the live song. So I do the other stuff, and she's like, hey, this is it. And I'm like, ooh, what a great song. So anxiety is a response to threats that seem to come to our life. It also is very similar to like things that are happening in our nervous system. The anxiety of our life over situations gets into that. So then I just want to stop. I just want to have a prayer right now, and we'll have a lot of prayers, but pray with me. Lord God, I ask today that you would bring healing in this room, to this place, to our place called Sanctuary for us. Lord, that you would bring your comfort and your presence and your peace. I pray that you would remove anxiety today and guard our hearts and our minds in the peace of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Is anxiety a sin? Not rhetorical. Is anxiety a sin? Is it? I think it can lead us to sinful behavior. But anxiety in itself, I think it's more of an emotional response. So I don't know that it's a sin. It's like feeling, having emotions. That's just part of being human. How many think your emotions are good? Sometimes. Can you rely on your emotions? I don't think so. They can be a little fickle. So when sin comes in and then we choose sinful behaviors because of our anxiety, then it becomes a sin. Then it's taking us down a road we really didn't want to go down. So feeling fear, feeling anxiety is not wrong. I think it's the way God's created us. I was even reading a scripture this week over in Philippians, and the Apostle Paul talks about he's got anxiety, and he was a great man of bold faith, and he wanted to send a colleague on with the gospel to another place, but he had concern and anxiety. And then I got to thinking, did Jesus have anxiety? No, but was Jesus ever stressed? I think he was. The Bible says that Jesus broke out in drops of what? Blood. Because he was so concerned about what was coming. So Christ knows what it is to be driven so he can sympathize with us. So I want to say this about anxiety. Anxiety is like a symptom. It's a signal. It's an alert to us that something's going on. Like, okay, all of you, in your car, you drive your car, and there's this thing you look at. It's called a dashboard. Do y'all ever look at the dashboard? You should look at it. There's like a voltage meter on most cars, and it shows you if your battery. It's got cold or hot. Where do you want to be? In the middle. If it ever goes to H, it doesn't go, oh, this car's hot. No, it doesn't mean your car's hot. I mean, it's hot, but it means you need to pull over. You're fixing to blow your engine, gaskets, and everything. It's going to be incredibly expensive. But you got to pay attention. Like, here's my favorite gauge, the fuel gauge. Hey, isn't that a fun one to watch? My anxiety goes up every time I respond to it. I go to the gas pump, and that thing goes, ding, 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 ding. It just climbs up, you know? Like, oh, man, that doesn't help for peace. Okay, so anxiety, it's real. It's something we don't celebrate, but it's something that's real. It's constant attacking at us, and we have to get clear mental focus. So is it a feeling? Is it a fear? Is it sin? What is it, God, that you're trying to teach us here? So worry surrounds our decisions so many times. And if it concern the Apostle Paul, I think it should concern us. And Christians, so should Christians ever feel anxious? Yeah, no. We're gonna. Hey, you're saying I'm a, okay. Here it is. Are Christians ever gonna have colds? Yeah. Are Christians ever gonna get sick? Yeah. Are Christians gonna ever be anxious? Yeah. Now, are you gonna dwell in your anxiety? Are you gonna camp out there? Are you gonna give it that root a place to grow and blossom and to drive you? And here's the other thing about anxiety, and I don't know this because I'm not medical. We've got medical people in the room, but some people have a chemical imbalance, and they really need some assistance and need some help. And I'm how many are grateful for the medical community? Amen. And they help us. And then there's a psychological counseling help and ministry that helps us. And then the greatest force, I believe, is the spiritual. And we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the Word of God. And we have pastors and teachers, and they help us. So we want to get out of that unimaginable weight that begins to weigh us down. Anxiety, I want you to look at anxiety as a big weight, and it weighs you down. Can you identify when things get heavy? And what did Jesus do? Many times in the Scripture, it says he got up early or he escaped to a noisy place. Not what it says. He went to a quiet place. He went to a place to commune with his Father. What do you think we should do when we get anxious? Pray. Take it to God. God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this. Lord, this is tough. I was thinking about this last night as I was going off to sleep. What do you do when you get anxious and you're laying in the bed? And anxiety, you can even feel your heart cadence, your rhythm picks up. What do you do? I'm curious. Let's help one another as the body of Christ. What do you do when you get anxious? You what? You pray. Okay, good. I mean, that's the spiritual answer, okay? What else do we do? We take a deep breath. Okay, we kind of breathe in, breathe out. Okay, good. We breathe. Huh? Okay. Somebody says, Charles, give me an answer, okay? You what? You toss and turn. How's that working for you? Yeah, okay. Hey, here's something I do. I change my pillows and I flip them over multiple times. How many do that? Changing out pillows, flipping over stuff. Like, man, that ain't helping. What else do you do? Get up. What do you do when you get up? You go run? You go take a jog? What do you do? Eat. You eat. Okay, that's next weekend. Addiction. Okay. What else do you do? Ooh. Impulsive decisions made on the anxiety that's driving us or ramping us. Okay. That's not good, but that's a great answer. Yeah. What else? What else do we do? Your pet calms your breathing. Okay. Anybody else? You could go grab a scripture. You could go grab the Bible. You could go listen to some praise music. You're saying, well, Pastor, I like to go turn on the TV. Yeah, I know that's calming you, isn't it? Let me just encourage you. Don't turn on the news then if you're already anxious. That is not going to help you about what's going on in the world. Or like in the last few days, I've been thinking about Iowa and Nebraska and Oklahoma. Why? Tornadoes. It's been horrible weather, you know. So we need to be praying for them. Let me give you a great verse. Isaiah 41:10. I like what the prophet tells us. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, because I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up by my victorious right hand. I will hold you up by my right hand. I will undergird you with my presence, my power, my peace. I love that. But don't be anxious. Don't be discouraged. Because I'll sustain you. I'll strengthen you. And Charles, you really gave the best answer when you talk about I cry out to God, I call out to God when I'm anxious. Because I think he has all the power and all the authority. And he can run the demons off and all the things that are trying to tackle us. Anxiety, depression, the Association of America, it says it affects 40 million adults in the United States, 18 and older. I think it's higher than that. How many think it's higher than that? I do. I think it's a lot higher than that today. Disorders are highly treatable. Are they not? Zach, April, with y'all being nurse practitioners, is anxiety treatable? It is, in a large part. I think we can. I think the medical community can help us in large ways. And so we don't want to discount them. I believe that counselors can. Do y'all believe Christian counselors can help us? I do. They really can. Do I believe spiritual teachers and pastors and leaders, do you think they can help us? I believe they can. I think God uses that. So where does anxiety come from? I want you to write down. Anxiety comes from unhealthy belief systems. It's unhealthy. It's not based on the Word of God. It's systems that you've bought into. You've built your faith around these elements, and sometimes they drive you off in the ditch. So just ask yourself, I'm anxious, and some of this I know is unhealthy, and I'm identifying it. I'm going to call it by name, and I'm not going to let that drive me anymore. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to drive me. I'm going to ask Him to define me. And so the whole thing there is pray, pray, pray. Lay your worries before Jesus. You know, that's what I love about prayer time. In our house, I have a pillow. I like to get on my pillow because my knees, you know, it's soft to them. And I like to lay down my burdens. I like to lay down my concerns. I like to lay down my anxieties. But I'm probably like you. Sometimes I like to pick them back up. And I go back and I dabble in it. And anxiety comes back. So Jesus, give us peace here, Lord. Help us to realize that the most effective weapon we've got against anxiety and fear is intercession, is prayer. And we'll pray today. All right, now here it is. You always got to go to Philippians 4, 6, and following the Apostle Paul. These are verses here you've read, you've memorized. I think I love them. I think they're powerful. But sometimes Christians, not knowingly, or maybe they do, sometimes it can seem like a clobber verse. You can use this verse that's on the screen here. And did you know sometimes people can be unkind with Scripture? The tone, the way they say it, when they say it. But let's look at the Word of God together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Okay, I like that. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about. Underline that. Highlight that in your Bible. That's why I put it up here. Don't be anxious about anything, is what the Apostle Paul admonishes. But in every situation, by what? Number one, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to who? To Him, to the Father. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, I love that. And then he says, finally, brothers and sisters, what do we do then? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then I want you to think about such things. Put your mind in that position. Lord, I want to think. I want to think. I want your thoughts to conform, to transform, to take obedience. Lord, I want to take my thoughts captive to the Word of God. I want to take my thoughts captive to Christ. Because, Lord, I'm anxious. So I don't want you to beat yourself up next time you get anxious. This is not a message of condemnation. How many of you wish I would preach condemnation messages every weekend? Wouldn't that be awesome? But I want to preach truth, and I want you to realize it is sinful. It is not the best behavior. And Christ, I want your behavior. I want you to conform me to the image of Christ. Lord, I want to have your mind. So I want to lay my worries before you. And when I do that, here it is. Then there's hope, and there's practical guidance. The apostle here gives us hope based in Jesus. And it's very practical if we'll do it. But we live in the world. We live in anxiety times. Do you think they had anxiety back in the days of Jesus? Yeah. Do you think they had anxiety 2,000 years ago? How about during the Civil War? You think they had anxiety then? How about in 1929? There was something happened. Thank you. I knew what it was. I wanted to make sure y'all knew. The Depression. Do you think people had anxiety? Stories go, people were jumping out windows taking their lives because they couldn't handle that. They lost all their worldly assets or whatever. All right, so prayer is not a magic weapon. It's not a cure-all pill, but it's the most effective weapon we have as a Christian, as a Christ follower, and the church says we got to take up prayer. So, Lord, I love that. So prayer touches the heart of God, and Dr. Caroline Leaf, you can write her name down, Dr. Caroline Leaf, this woman is brilliant. She knows more about the brain and says words I can't even pronounce. But she talks about when, and some of her, I've read some of her stuff over the years, and she says prayer even changes the chemistry in our brains. How many of you think our God is so great that he would do that through prayer? Prayer changes the chemistry of your brain scientifically. Did y'all know that? That's how powerful. I remember reading this study 40-something years ago from, at that time it meant something to me. It was Harvard. Now I don't even want to say the word Harvard, but that's another story for another day. But they had this study, and it talked about the people that received prayer got well more often than the people that didn't have prayer. And I think the power of prayer, it was God's intervention, but I also think as you begin to pray, it begins to change. It alters the chemistry in your brain. Why would God not do that? He's the creator, is he not? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I like that. So, all right, here we go. So, you expect one prayer to rid you of anxiety. That's not the way it works. It takes continual prayer. Like, have you ever thought about this? I want to lose 20 pounds, so I'm going to eat one healthy meal, I'm going to do one workout, and I am smaller. How's that working for you? It ain't working for me. And you, it's daily, isn't it? Daily you got to take it on. And so, God, you want us to be prayer warriors. So, all right, let me throw out this. I got to do it real quick. Get off. I'm not saying get off. You could get off. Might be even better. Limit social media, and the church said. Because when you watch the highlight reels of everybody else's life, sometimes you get a little anxiety. Have you noticed most people don't put their bad moments on Facebook? If you did, be like, man, you want to get depressed, just watch Facebook. Well, sometimes when you just look at Facebook, you get depressed because everybody's life looks like that's the life I want to have. But, you know, they're just trying to give you their best image. So here it is. Write this one down. Filled your heart and mind with what? With what? Scripture. Fill your heart and mind with Scripture. I got to go back. I messed up. Donna, you're doing a fantastic job. I got so excited about my notes. I got to go back to something here. Go back. There it is. Seek the trio of counsel. There's a trio of counsel for us. And so that means three. There's three things that we need to be doing. What would you think they need to be? What's a good trio for us of counsel? What are some things that we need to be getting help? Who are some people? It would be what? The what?
Father.
All right, the Father. Okay. We run to God. Here's what I think. The trio here is even more practical than that. It would be we go to our pastor, could be part of the trio. We go to a counselor, that could be one. And another one could be we go to the doctor, the medical community. So a doctor or the pastor or the what? Or the counselor could be a trio of help that could help us to wholeness. Do y'all believe that God wants us to be whole in Jesus Christ? I do, with all my heart. I'm confident that God wants us to do that. So as we seek out the trio of counsel, a lot of times we get freedom. Now, look at this, the next one, and I got so far off. Lay out your worries before the feet of Jesus. Just lay them out there. Then, to me, that's just a beautiful picture. As I lay my petitions, I lay my anxieties, I lay my systems, I lay my possessions, I lay my attitudes, I lay my sin, I lay my hopes out before the Master. Because he can do so much more with it. He gives it organization. He gives it order. He gives it authority. He gives us direction as we seek after him. So, Lord, help us to do that. Now, flip over to the other side. I want you to see this. And we just went through that great verse. Do not be anxious. See it in red at the very top of your teaching guide today? Circle that. Box it. Circle it. Don't be anxious about anything. That's what Paul would say. Again, not trying to clobber you, just trying to give you, I think, the best verse on that. But I love that passage I shared from Isaiah for you, too. I'm going to share a psalm and some other verses. But I want you to fill this in, and that's where I was going. Fill your heart and your head with Scripture. God, I know I live in anxiety times, and I know I live in times where things are hard and people are struggling, and I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time. So, Lord, I just want to give my heart to you every day, and I want to give you my mind. I want to give you my head. And, Lord, I ask that your word would be supreme in my life because there's sufficiency in you, and I want you to guard my heart and mind, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I trust you. You say that, Lord, you provide. How many believe God's your provider? He provides for us. You say, God, that you are victorious, that I'm victorious in Jesus Christ. You are victorious in Christ. The Bible says that you're redeemed and you have salvation in Christ. You are redeemed and saved in Christ. So, Lord, I trust you. So God's word, just write down this word, God's word is a gift to us. I like that. God, your word is a gift. Have you ever thought about God's word just being a gift? That the Father gives you a love letter, that God gives you his word. God just gives you a gift that you and I need. So God has given us a gift. Now, I want you to see this next one. Look at it there on the outline. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. The psalmist says, it was so great within my soul. It was so great. It was overriding. It was overwhelming. It was crushing me. It was so great. I felt like I was going down. But Lord, but then your presence, I write maybe above the word consolation, your presence, your consolation brought me joy. Brought me joy for my walk. So Lord, look at the next one. We have to practice gratitude. In everything, give thanks. Lord, help me to give thanks in all the circumstances because, Lord, you don't let anything touch my life that doesn't get filtered through your hand. So, Lord, I want to practice gratitude. How many of you like to be around people that are real grateful? Today, I reached over and I gave Nick a hug. I said, Nick, thank you. And you know what that little boy did? He's sitting there taking our dirty little cups. He's putting them in that trash can. He's smiling. And he just goes, you're welcome. Wow. You're doing something right there, Mama. You're doing a good job. I love that little spirit. He was serving us at the table of Christ in a grateful manner. So, Lord, help us to express gratitude to whoever served. So, you know what practicing gratitude does? It interrupts anxiety. Isn't that great? Gratitude is a great interrupter of anxiety. If you're feeling all this anxiety, just start thanking God. Just start praising God. Just turn up your praise music. Do I have a witness today? And that's why I love praise and worship, because it just takes me to a place that I can't go by myself. So we just say, Lord, you know, you've heard me say before, hey, just write down three things you're grateful for every day. Get a gratitude journal. It'll help you. But give your life, your thoughts, your heart, your mind to Christ and practice his presence to get right thinking. So, Lord, I don't need to be all worried and stressed out about the test yet to come or the exam or about who's my neighbor, who's not going to be my neighbor, or if I get in the house or not get in the house. Lord, all that stuff is just occupying way too much space and taking too much energy. God, I just want to be grateful. I just want to praise you for the journey. God, I just want to walk with you a little bit more. So I want you to write down this. I don't know if I put it in here. Self-care is God's care. Take care of yourself. God, help me to be a good steward of the body that you've given me. Help me to take care of myself. It's because anxiety always crops up where you least expect it. When you put too much on your plate, what's going to happen? Hey, have you seen it? Can you see this analogy? You're spinning plates. You got three going. You got four. You got six. You got nine. And you got all these plates, and you're running around spinning. And what happens? They crash. They fall down. How many of you can identify with that analogy today, that example? Like, oh man, that's me. So God says, take care of yourself, get more sleep. You're like, I know some of you sleep during my sermon. No, I don't think you sleep during my sermon. I hope you don't. But get more sleep. Eat better. Exercise. Do those things. The Bible would say, cease striving. Know that I'm God. Rest. Exercise. Get a better routine. Get after his agenda. See what the Father has for you. Lord, you give me scripture. Let me see if I can find these. These are so good today. I could go on and on about this for hours, about being transformed. We're not transformed quite yet. It's kind of a now and then. Christ is doing a work in our hearts today, but eventually we'll be in the presence of Christ and his glory. And these lowly bodies that we have now will one day be made whole. Do y'all look forward to the day that there is no aches, no pains? This body, this life is perfect in the presence of the Nazarene, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all awesome. It's all holistic. There's no more neurological misfirings in the brain. There's no anxiety to be dealt with. Do y'all want to go there? I do. Yeah, Charles, I do. You know, I mean, how many of you are enjoying the journey? I'm enjoying the journey, but sometimes the journey gets hard. So we expect more.
You know, God's peace when I can't sleep. We've talked about that. I could talk about that for an hour, but I won't. Okay. So you're busy, busy, busy. Just take time to slow down and to rest and renew the mind, renew the heart, renew the body. That's why Jesus gave a Sabbath. You ever thought about it? Jesus didn't need a Sabbath. We needed one. He's God. He never gets tired. He neither sleeps or slumbers, does he, Pat? But he knows that we need rest. How many of you, I want to ask you, does anybody ever take a nap on Sunday afternoon? Do you ever close your eyes on sometime? You just go to a little. Yesterday, I was out in the yard doing a bunch of straw work and everything. And I got out of the shower, and all the kids were coming over later. And I just sat still. And I was under the ceiling fan. And for just a few minutes, Donna looked over and she goes, "Don't go to sleep." And here's my typical answer. I'm just resting my eyes. They tired. That's code for caught. All right. So here you go. So take time. What are y'all laughing about? Y'all know y'all do the same thing. Here'd be the bottom line. Take it to God. The Lord Jesus would say, "You're dealing with anxiety? Run to me. Take your fear to me. Take that anxiety to me. Just run to me. Let my washing over you take thought." All right, listen to this. Psalm 34:17. Write it down. Psalm 34:17. "When the righteous cry for help," that's Christians, "the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Do you believe that? I do. So, Lord, Psalm 55:22. "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." He's a faithful God. So here it is. I'm going to land this plane. We're going to do something real quick. Take time to pray. Write it down. Take time to pray. Got to do that. Two, take time to pause. You got to pause. Pray. You got to pause. Pray some more. And then just stand there in the strength of the Almighty God. And then give some praise to the one who is worthy. And I think anxiety has to fall off. So true rest always involves what? What does it involve? Surrendering to God, yielding to the King, yielding to the Master. "Lord, I just want to surrender to you." We used to sing a song, I think it came out in 2018, and I was going to get Linda to do it, but she didn't remember it. But the thing is, I'm going to tell you real quick, because this is the whole song, so it kind of gets my nerves because they repeat it. In one album, I watched it, they repeated it for 8 minutes. Like, I got it in the first minute, but here it is. "This is how I fight my battles." Just Google that today. Not right now. I want you to keep, hold on. I'm not through yet. "This is how I fight my battles." And you let the Lord surround you, okay? So take it to the Father. All right. That is God's word for us on a Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, we praise you for the authority and the sufficiency of our awesome Savior. And Lord Jesus, we exchange anxiety today for the peace of Christ in Jesus' name. The church said, now, I'm going to do this real quick with you, and then we're going to do it because I'm going to run over just a tad. Why pray for America? Why should we pray for America? I didn't know all this was going to go in there, but it's good. All right. The theme this year is lift up the word, light up the world. That's the theme for praying for America this year. I like that. Although this is so small up there, I really can't. I don't know if y'all can see it either. Lift up the word, light up the world. And we do by the presence of Christ. This verse, write it down, Amos 4:13. "He who forms the mountains creates the wind. He reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns the dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth. The Lord all God Almighty is his name." Is he faithful? He's the one we run to cry out for America. All right, go to in 2 Chronicles 7:14 about humbling ourselves and turn from our wicked way. God will heal our land. Next screen, sweetie. That's my wife. I can say sweetie, okay? I'm saying this over the thing. If you're listening, I'm not getting, okay, that's my wife running screens today. I thought like that. He sure got friendly with the people in the tech booth. All right, here we go. How to pray for America. Seven centers of influence: government, military, media, business, education, church, family. Write these down. These are seven great areas to consider for prayer daily or this day or Thursday on the National Day of Prayer, that we pray for our leaders, our elected officials. And look at these three areas: federal government, state government, and local government. How many of you think those levels of executive offices need petition and prayer? Yeah. All of them. God, I don't want to complain because I complain. I can whine with the best of them. I want healing in our land. I want you to heal our officials. I want you to draw them to Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if they came on the news this week and go, we can't describe, but everybody in Washington is confessing sin, resigning office, turning from this, and God is healing America. I'd call that revival. You say, no, I'd call that a miracle. That would be a miracle. But you know what? God, heal, start in the church of God, heal us and heal our land. And I wish we just had so much time. If y'all wanted to stay another hour, if I'd have brought lunch, we would have just stayed and we'd have prayed for a long time. But I invite you to petition on behalf of our countries. So let's stop right here. Just pray for a moment, and then we're going to do our closing song. Lord God, we are grateful for this land, this country called America, and for the opportunity to live in it, to serve in it. We're blessed. We have freedoms to worship you, to freely gather. Lord, all those are under attack. Lord, our country's a mess. But, Lord, we've turned our back on you, and we ask, Lord, that we would repent as a house and the family of God, that the churches would repent, that our land, the people here, would turn from their sin and look to the Lord God, Jehovah, and say, God, hear our prayer. Make us new. Make us holy. Change us, God. Reconcile situations. Bring justice. Bring truth. Show us how to care for the poor and the oppressed. God, just clean up the mess that we've made. Lord, we need you. You're our lamp, O Lord. Your word lightens our path. Steer our way. And Lord, that theme I love, lift up the word and we'll light up the world for Jesus. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.